7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
I haven't heard this forever.
Oh, I love this show.
Max Headroom.
Raja!
No one's going to understand why we're playing this, but maybe our next guest will. Ladies and gentlemen, Corbin Burnson comes from an entertainment family. His Emmy Award-winning mother played Catherine Chancellor on the CBS soap opera The Young and the Restless for 35 years. Graduate of UCLA, where he earned a bachelor's degree in theater and a master's degree in playwriting. I got a master's degree in just playing around.
Doing nothing.
Sand play. He most recently starred as Henry Spencer on USA Network's hit original series Psych. And he was first catapulted, of course, to stardom during the 1980s by the hit NBC TV series L.A. Law. He was nominated for both Emmy and Golden Globe Awards for his performance as Arnie Becker on the show that virtually created the ensemble drama as we now see it today. Along the way, he hosted Saturday Night Live. He's guest starred in Seinfeld, Star Trek.
I had to use like 4 tweets to list all the stuff that you had here.
It's ridiculous. Why don't we let someone else introduce him? Someone else who I think did a much better job introducing Corbin Burnson. Have a listen to this.
My first guest has been in court more than Jar Jar. He's about to start his 8th season as a divorce attorney, Archie Becker, on Arnie Becker. Please welcome Queen Elizabeth. Arnie Becker. Please welcome Corbin Burnson.
There you go. You see, folks, much better job. He's here with us on The Drew Marshall Show, and we appreciate it. Corbin, thanks for joining us. Does that take you back a little bit, thinking about, what was that guy's name again?
Chevy Chase.
That's right, yeah.
1993.
Chevy Chase. That was a 5-minute show he had on the air. That was something. But, wow, listen, I mean, that just took you 4 minutes. Introduce me. Interesting.
I know. Well, I have not worked as much as you, so my bio is certainly not as long. 1993, that was. Man, that was a lot of fun. Listen, the first question I actually have for you, Corbin, this is a very serious question. You have 8,000 snow globes. Can you tell us about the time you stole one from a little girl in Toronto?
No, I didn't steal one. I was walking Queen Street, and there was a girl standing there with a little, you know, like Gerber's baby food jar. Upside down, she created a little snow globe in it, a little figure she put in it with some whatever she used for snow. And I said, I'll buy that from you. And I gave her $25. Canadian, granted, at that time. So, you know, it was worth about 18 U.S. or something.
Yeah.
But it's one of my some of my favorite domes I've ever had are ones where they're homemade, handmade by people. I like that. And that's always got us free with it. I remember this, and she was thrilled. You know, she was thrilled to get $25. So.
Have you ever put a price on your snow globe collection? What's it worth, do you think?
Well, yes. A fellow from Toronto, oddly enough, came to the show Collectors Something on TV there. What's it called? I don't know. The Collectors Roadshow or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He came and he put a value of about $650,000 on it.
Come on!
Oh,
seriously?
It's one earthquake away from being a flood.
Okay, you know what? I watched a movie a little while ago and happened to coincide with the kind of a similar journey I was going through. I used to be a pastor. Now I'm someone who's not even 100% convinced that there's a God anymore, right? So I've been kind of processing my own spiritual journey, and Larry King told me once that whenever he and Billy Graham talk, he agrees with everything Billy Graham says, but he just can't make that leap. That's why he calls himself an agnostic. You know, he used to be Jewish, now he's an agnostic married to a Mormon. Perfect guy for our show.
Right.
But this movie that you did, Rust, was filmed in Canada, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Where was Psych filmed?
Psych was filmed in Vancouver.
Which is part of Canada. So what I'm trying to get at here is snow globes, Psych, Rust. Dude, you owe us big time. We are just your number one spot, apparently.
God lives somewhere in Winnipeg. That's all I know.
Because no one else will.
No one else will.
Yeah, no one else will. There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, Actually, Churchill, Manitoba is where he lives.
Yeah. Listen to him. He knows his geography and everything.
He's up there with the polar bears.
What's the name of our coffee chain? Do you remember?
Oh, you're, Tim, what's his name?
Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
I mean, well, I didn't know if you were going for J.J. Bean, though.
No.
No, yeah. Tim Hortons, of course.
Yeah.
Tim Hortons got great coffee. Do you remember I got up a car, I was being picked up early on, I think it might have been for psych. They picked me up at the airport, and I said, I got to stop off at Starbucks and get a coffee. And he said, that's not coffee. I'll take you to coffee. And it was to a Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons came in very handy in those movies I shot up there.
Yeah, minus 30. I know. I saw some. I mean, some of the scenes you shot in Rust, oh, my goodness. Yeah. That was cool.
Minus 45.
Yeah.
Minus 45. I'll put it like this. I tell people, how can they ask how cold is that? And then you guys probably understand this. You have to walk backwards.
Yep.
Basically, you do not walk face forward into that.
Yeah. Apparently, your favorite episode of Psych was Mr. Yin Presents. Is that right? Is that accurate?
That was one of them. Yeah, that was one of them. It just was a nice whole with Ally Sheedy and the whole. I think that was one Peter Weller was in as well.
Stop. We have to talk about Ally Sheedy just for a second. Oh man, did I have a crush on her. Man.
Really? Wow.
That's all I got. That's it.
Okay,
so
I'm not gonna ask you to elaborate. Yeah,
no,
go ahead.
No, not on air. Major League. Who would you rather hang out with and play poker with, for example? Or be on a desert island with? Charlie Sheen, Gary Busey, or Tom Cruise?
Wow, that would be an interesting episode of Survivor. Charlie Sheen, Tom Cruise, Gary Busey. I actually have this thing for Gary Busey lately. I want to direct him in a film. Gary Busey's kind of interesting. I like people, well, Charlie's there too. I like people who are on the edge of madness.
Yep.
You know, there's something about it. There's something interesting. But I would love to direct Gary Busey. I was just saying this the other day to my wife. I just think he'd be kind of fascinating. I think Gary Busey would probably be the most entertaining. Charlie's a buddy, but he'd be too, oddly enough, serious. And Tom Cruise, well, I don't know.
The episode of Star Trek that you were in, help me know which one that was, because I don't remember you.
It's called Deja Vu. I played Q. There's an episode by John Delancey. Played a character named Q, omnipotent, speaking of God. But evidently he's not that omnipotent that there's not a Q2 who's a little bit more powerful than him. So I was Q2, which makes me live in Churchill, Manitoba.
Man.
Yeah, so I played Q2. Yeah.
Okay, now with you, there's this weird West Wing connection. I just finished binge watching the entire series of West Wing, all 3,000 episodes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Dooley Hill went from West Wing to Psych to your Twitter feed this week.
Right.
Are you and him tight?
Dooley,
yeah. Are what you guys buddies?
We're buddies. We all became very close on Psych. It was an incredible family, and you know, Dooley's a good all around guy, talented, and I met him before I did West Wing. When I guess I was just finished LA Law. I met him early on when he got West Wing, and we had some conversations about career. And he's a good guy. I like him.
Okay, now we got to talk about the Seinfeld connection, because last night I watched this thing. What's it called? The Christian Mingle movie. Yeah. And what's with the Seinfeld connection here? Holy cow.
Well, what's with the connection of Christian Mingle to Seinfeld? But Seinfeld, anyway, Seinfeld was, they called me up, and I was doing another film at the time. And, of course, Seinfeld, I'm a guy, like you said in your one of your parts of your mini introductions there. You know, I've done Saturday Night Live. I love that I've been able to do some classic television, even if it's just an episode here or there, like Seinfeld. So when they asked if I wanted to do this, it was an immediate yes. I didn't care what it was, any of that. It just, Absolutely. Seinfeld, no problem.
The connection here is, I just forgot his name. Who is the guy who owns the hair replacement pill product in the movie, the character?
Oh, John O'Hurley.
Right. So John O'Hurley, Seinfeld, you, Seinfeld, and both of you are on the Christian Mingle movie. You see? You're both.
Yes.
And by the way, that cameo of you being Mr. Bicycle Repairman guy.
Yeah.
There was a picture of you and the missus. Who was the missus in that picture?
That was the mother of a woman who was my assistant, actually, on that. I was thinking about having my wife's picture with me, but that's too weird because the character is dead. So
yeah, that's not good. Not good.
That's not cool.
Not good.
And her mother is very good and supportive of the film. So
good.
Yeah, I let her be the dead woman.
Good. Okay, so your wife Amanda, you guys got married the same year I got married, 88, and I'm always interested in your love story, so I want to ask you what's your love story, but let me see if I've got your love story down correct, and then you tell me what you fill in the blank. So you ready?
All right, okay.
You'd known her for a couple of years. You were both in Italy. She was doing a movie called Leviathan. You had to go to Montana to do a movie called Disorganized Crime. Had to go to your brother's wedding in Cabo. He left Montana on a Friday night. Had to take about three flights to get down there. Finally got there, wedding Saturday. Then you had to take about four flights to get back to Tijuana. Then you walked across the border. You took a cab to San Diego Airport. Took a commuter plane to LAX. Then from LAX, you went to Italy and made it just in time for her birthday. You took her back to this little tree that you guys had found. You had two rings because you weren't sure which one she was going to like, and even though Whoopi Goldberg called it begging, you got down on two knees and asked Amanda to marry you. Do you want to fill in the blanks?
I don't know. Why don't you ask my wife? She's sitting right here next to me.
No.
Is that true?
That is true.
did you want to say to him, dude, get two knees, stop it, you're begging. You don't need to beg. I'll marry you.
Yeah, no, I did do that. Get off your knees. Why the two rings? What a waste of money.
Wow. Very pragmatic woman. I love it.
You didn't expect her to be here, did you, on the phone?
No, because I was about to say, dude, you married up so big time. That woman is hot. But I wouldn't want to say that with her on speakerphone.
Oh, yeah, well, there you go. Now, we're just driving somewhere today, and she had to sit in on this. I'm just glad you haven't said anything terribly, horrible that I have to go to this.
Well, I watched the Christian Mingle movie last night, and I don't know if I can do it just the same amount of justice here. But before we talk about the Christian Mingle movie, I'm a sucker for love stories, and
right.
I always hesitate going, wow, you guys have been married, 26 years, and way to go, and that's especially awesome in Hollywood, because I might read in the paper next week that things went down the crapper and you're done. Like, I had John Schneider on just before Christmas, and it was the same week that it was announced that he and his wife have divorced. So, but I am I still want to say it. I just hope I don't jinx it. Like, thanks for lasting 26 years. I'm sure it hasn't been a cakewalk. Mine hasn't.
No, but we're best friends. I mean, I'll say that in front of her right here. We're best friends. And
it's been an interesting ride, let me put it like that.
We're just spending the day doing some things that we care to do together, and there are times where you go, that's it. I mean, what are you, 26 years, you're gonna throw that away? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's all good.
Well, let's just talk about this new hit television show, My Four Sons. Maybe, Corbin, you can take us back to when Oliver had his debut on The Late Show with David Letterman. That was a great little suck-up move right there. Kissing the kid, bringing out the picture. You were just a giddy new father at that time.
Yeah, well, like our marriage, our family, it's really about our family, is just hugely important to us. It's pretty much everything. You can blow the rest off, I mean, having a child... and all of them, it's been equal. You talked a moment ago, not to bring it back to your faith and loss of faith in God and all that. When I had a child, it suddenly put me in a realm of, there's different things that work in this world that I may not be able to see and touch and feel, that are just so hugely magnificent, that are so overwhelming, powerful. And, you know, those, you know, the birth of my first child was, I don't think
it
was...
It wasn't very painful, was it?
It wasn't painful for me. She was in agony, but the birth of your child, it just immediately for me, in that very instant, it propels you into this other place.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's still profound to me. It's still, you know, to a fault sometimes. You know, Didi, I guess I get comments from Amanda here, I'm sure, but you know, the amount that I worry, that I care, that I'm concerned, you know, that I can't necessarily let go even as they get older. Family and my four kids are, you know, profoundly huge to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and their generation, by the way. You know, I'm that guy. I'm the guy who unfortunately gets terribly worried for their generation, concerned, I should say, you know, given the events of the world, what we knew as kids, or I knew, I don't know how old you guys are, what's going on now. You know, and it's all sort of through the eyes of them that I step forward.
Well, I think about, you know, obviously done the research and watched a number of interviews that you had done over the years. And, you know, you talked about your dad passing away and that had a big impact on you.
Right.
And then, of course, your mom just passing away back in 2013. And I know this is a right. really, really unfair question. It's kind of like saying, which kid do you love the most? But whose death had the most impact on you, do you think? Your mom or your
definitely
dad?
Definitely my mother's. For a variety, my father's in its own way because it was the first the death of a parent.
Right.
And I actually cried more. I felt more of a loss, oddly enough, in his death. I remember I was doing psych at the time. I remember being in my hotel room, just, you know, out of nowhere, just uncontrollably sobbing. My mother's, though, is more profound because two reasons. One, it's now you have no more parents. Hmm. You know, that's your last parent. And she and I were particularly close. She was definitely a go-to person for me. And I lost that, and I'm struggling with it still. I lost that. I don't want to just say it was a comfort thing. It was okay. It's going to be okay. It's your mommy. It's not just that. But she was a true friend. She had a unique kind of wisdom that, you know, it defied logic, but it was there, and she was strong, and she was strength. And when she left, it left me with a void. And it's, you know, it's unfair. I can't, again, Amanda sitting here, I can't go to Amanda for that. That was my mother's job. But your wife's relationship is different. And yeah. Sometimes I think I ask her too much to be that role, but that's not the role. So it was pretty profound. She was a very, very good friend and I think for our whole family, just an incredible anchor, even in her lunacy. because my mother was a lunatic. I mean, on one level, a complete lunatic, you know.
Yes.
But she was an anchor. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like your relationship with your mom was not only primal, it was very relational.
Yeah, very relational. Absolutely, yeah. Very relational. And so much of the way I viewed the world... And you know, and also, you know, sometimes my lunacy is directly connected, you know, on some levels.
Thank you for not being a poster boy for Christianity. Besides, Kirk Cameron already has that role.
Right.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, and I appreciate it more than you know. You know, my road of making these faith-based films has been a road that's taken me closer to, I mean, there's so many levels in this conversation, we can't do it in one radio interview.
Yeah.
And certainly not in, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. I was raised a Christian Scientist. My father's family is Jewish. His mother became a Christian Scientist early on. That's where I went to school. That was my first relationship with God, Jesus, the Bible, religion, in any way, shape, or form. And I had a very strong connection to the man, Jesus Christ. As I grew up, my mother always talked about Jesus, but more as a teacher, a wisdom, a prescription for living, if you will, mm-hmm. as opposed to a religious affiliation, necessarily. And then I let all that, and that was always been a part of my life. It's always been there. It's never been without it. I've always had a belief in God. And again, I can discuss that in a minute, but it's not what one would think of. And maybe, you know, it'll help you in what your quest is here. Anyway, so for years, that I'm not saying it went dormant, but it just, you know, it was there. It was there. After my father died, and again, this was impactful, as we were talking about a moment ago. After my father died, I was suddenly propelled into this, literally, and I do say this, and it's been in interviews, so you've probably heard it, literally with his bag of ashes. And my mind is a curious mind, and I said, what now? What more? What do you, you know, is that it? Is it ashes? You know, is that it? Ashes to ashes, see you later? Or is there something more? Well, those ashes led me to write the film Rust, which led me to this little town called Kipling outside of, in Saskatchewan. And I wrote the film Rust, and as I wrote the film Rust, interesting things happened to me as I started to explore faith. By the way, when I wrote the film Rust, I simply wrote a film about a preacher who had lost his way, if you will, and no longer believed in, you know, his relationship with God. And basically put down the collars and I'm not doing it anymore. And through this tragedy in this small town, comes to rediscover, rekindle, reignite his faith and his relationship with God. I did not know I was making a faith-based movie. Sony called up and said, hey, you're Christian, you're making a faith-based movie. And I thought, sure, why not? Well, it literally happened like that. I just made a movie about, to me, it was a crisis of faith movie. It was like a midlife crisis movie. You know, a guy who stopped his relationship with somebody along the way. Anyway, I made the movie, and as I made the movie, interesting things started to happen, and I, you could say the coincidences, the magnificence of events that happened felt to me the presence of God in helping author this journey that I was on. And through all the films I've made, I felt that presence guiding me to make these films, to do what I do, right or wrong, make money, no money, difficult, minus 45. I'm doing that, and I've grown. My spiritual base, my spiritual belief has grown to a point where my mother was, quite frankly. I can't say it on the air, but my mother was the first person to say, God, you know, don't F yourself. God bless you. What do you want? You know, and I understand that. I have a spiritual base where God, you know, is at the center or the outside or the, you know, at the center of all things. But what is God? That's another whole conversation. Is it the guy with the white beard, you know, working on his iPad up there, making us do stuff? No, I don't look at it like that. I don't look at a, you know, harps and walking on clouds and all that stuff. So I'm not a poster boy for all that.
No,
stuff.
No. And also, let me just add something. I'm also, I really hope God does not sound like Don Knotts.
Right. No, God doesn't. God to me, and to put it into short form, is there is something that pulls us forward as human beings. It's just the, you ever seen the rabbit and the greyhound chasing the rabbit in the greyhound race? God is like the rabbit. God is out in front. God is this thing that I don't care any longer to have to identify physically or in pictures in my mind, but other than that, a force that pulls us forward, that makes us make great discoveries, that through pain and through suffering brings us closer to understanding. You know, why do people who are are atheists, when they're dying, say, God, help me. You know, because they're, I think they're just reaching out to something that's bigger, that's larger, that's beyond. I say in a movie that I did called Beyond the Heaven, you know, God is this, it's that unknown. I'm not saying it's a place saver, but God is the thing that's out there that for me, again, I don't have to identify, so I don't have a problem with it. I don't have to physically draw a picture of, but rather understand in my heart and the feeling of watching my child be born, or the love I have for my wife, or the beauty of the Grand Canyon. You know, there's that thing you get, and that's God to me. That is God. And it pulls us forward. It pulls us forward to be better, to be stronger, to get through, to endure, to discover new sciences, to have breakthroughs in medicine, to figure out this problem in the Middle East, to discover the way to peace, you know? God is the promise of magnificence and peace that's really there, that's attainable. If you don't have that, then you can get locked down in this crap that we see daily on the news. But I prefer to put God out there and strive toward that. So am I picture boy or poster boy for Christianity? You know, I had a conversation with a friend the other day. You know, he sends me these biblical quotes every day, and it's great. It's inspirational. He said, you know, fear God, fear this. I told him, I can't do that. I'm not going to fear God. I can love God, but I don't, this notion of fearing something to be closer to it or to be obedient to it, you know, I don't really get it. I mean, as far as I can tell, the Bible says fear not. So, you know, I'm not the poster boy because I don't operate on the life of, if I'm bad, I'm going to go to hell. I don't operate that way. I operate on a try to be my best and try to love all, to just be good. And that is heaven. And if there, yeah, by the way, is there a heaven with white clouds? Am I going to see Grandma baking apple pie? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. That'd be great. I'm not going to, I have no, what's my purpose of saying that doesn't exist? You know, I have no purpose. I have no reason to say it doesn't exist. And you know, so say, why not, you know? But I'm not a poster boy because I don't say, everything I've just said here would make me not a poster boy.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that's what gives you the insight into, well, the insight that we see come out in your productions, with your production company, with the movies you've been behind. I think it's a low blow to call them faith-friendly or family-friendly. No, they're great movies that have come out of an authentic soul. They're great movies that have come out of an authentic soul. That's my suck-up comment of the day right there.
Well, that's very sweet of you, and I'll tell you what. It's not easy to make these movies, and I'll tell you what, they don't do enormously well. If you go to make God's Not Dead, made by friends of mine with Kevin Sorbo, Buddy, people in it, God bless them. You know, those are all to call movies that rally the, you know, Kirk Cameron audience together to go, you must see this in droves. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But my movies, you know, are, you know, I think they, Christian Mingle is exactly, to bring this around to a fuller conversation, the movie that we're talking about here that comes out on Tuesday on DVD, that's my cheap suck up, is very much, you know, that movie is about find your own path. It's not, it doesn't have to be his path or her path. I like to say that each of our path to our faith, to God, to Christ, to Jesus, whatever, wherever it takes you, is like a snowflake. It's still incredible to me that no one snowflake is exactly like the other. I don't believe that any of our paths to spirituality are exactly like the other. I'm not going to be able to match Kirk Cameron's path to it. I think the place of love, compassion, understanding all the teachings of that man, Christ, are universal and wonderful things, but our paths to that all are completely different. And, you know, little be it me to say, you're doing it this way, you're a Buddhist, you're a Christian, you're a this, and I'm right, you're wrong. I don't do the I'm right, you're wrong. You know, as long as you're on a path, and each person's path to it is there, discover your path. That's really what Christian Mingle is about. Look, am I closer to the Christian faith? I am. You know, that's me. But you know, that's the context I put things in. I'm not, you know, I'm not Muslim. I'm not, I don't have Jewish teachings. I don't have Buddhist teachings. I don't demean them, but I put the terms of finding the path and all that stuff in the terms of which I know, which is Christianity.
Well, I think it all can all be summarized by this. This isn't going to come out right again, but let me just say it anyway. I don't know you well enough, but from my outsider's opinion, Corbin Burnson, you just stink of authenticity.
Well, I try to.
I like that. I like
that's the, my wife.
I like the word stink.
Yeah. Let me be very clear. You know, you want to talk about authenticity?
Yeah.
My wife, who's sitting next to me, is not a part of any of this stuff.
Well, but what I think about you, Corbin, is I think the word also about Corbin is honesty. If you can just be honest,
yeah,
that's what it's all about. You've got to be, you know, really true to who you are, and then your movies are going to be real.
Well, and here's the problem I face, and this is a wonderful form, and I'm glad we've talked about it, and, you know, the movies will do what they do. One of my biggest problems is to sell more movies, the commerce of what I do, demands a sort of toe the line.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And that is not honest.
No. Nope.
And that's not honest and true to me. By the way, I think there's a world of people out there who wouldn't mind exploring and putting a little bit of faith back in their lives.
Yep.
I think, it, you know, whether it's God-fearing faith that came out of, you know, those days, or just a notion of, hey, we're all connected to this larger picture. And there is love. I believe in greatness. I believe in love. I believe in beauty. Well, I'm also lost. I've been driving my wife somewhere, and I just got us completely lost.
Oh, no.
Rambling on the streets of Long Beach. It's okay. it's interesting, this journey of having to, sell these movies, make what I feel is from the heart, at the same time sell them. It's been a little bit difficult.
Yep, but that's the thing I admire. You know, I can smell it from a mile away when someone's just sort of, you know, doing the thing that they're doing because it will bring in numbers and follow the money trail, and, you know, it makes sense on the books. I can smell it a mile away, which is why I didn't enjoy some of the movies that you'd mentioned earlier. I just didn't like them because you can smell the agenda. I can't stand that.
Right. Right.
So, anyway.
Right. My movies or somebody else's movies?
No, not your movies, which is why, okay. You know, you're not going to get rich off these things, man. I mean, I wish you the best, and because I'm a, like, I watched the thing. I watched it last night. Hold on, let me just do the proper thing here. ChristianMingleTheMovie.com is where you want to go, folks. ChristianMingleTheMovie.com, and it's coming to DVD on January 13th. The guy behind it is the guy we've just been chatting with. Corbin Burnson. Of course, he is Emmy and Golden Globe nominated. Boy, that's this guy. Are you going to have that on your tombstone, your epitaph? Emmy and Golden Globe nominated. You know, Groucho Marx, I think it says on his tombstone, told you I was sick. Anyway.
No, gosh, I don't know. Tombstone, I think I'll be cremated, so it's you know.
No, I'll make a tombstone for him. Don't worry.
What would you put on my tombstone?
You know what?
This is frightening. What would my wife put on my tombstone?
Yeah, I love it.
I'll tell you, it's interesting. I have my mother's ashes.
No, this is what I put on. I put on, he got cremated because he didn't want a tombstone, but I'm going to give him one anyway.
And you're going to put nothing on it. It'll just be blank.
Yeah.
That'll be like, how is it, by the way?
Yeah. Is what you believe true or not? Let me know. Send me a fax. Yeah. Send me a fax.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be in France drinking rosé. Okay, great.
Well, you know, I love the love story, and it is inspirational. You guys are inspirational. Thank you for doing what you do, how you do what you do. Corbin, I appreciate your time on the show, and please give my love to Jane Seymour there. It was lovely to chat with her.
Yeah, Jane Seymour playing Amanda Page.
Yeah.
All right.
Get back to your trip. Great to chat with you guys.
Okay, bye. Talk to you. Thank you
all right,
so much.
Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, man, that was fun.
It's hard. hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.